listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Well, welcome to Don't Mention the Fussball, episode 58. We've got the normal sort of motley crew here to talk utter nonsense, as usual. Both Jan and myself are parked in my living room in Berlin.
For an hour.
Yeah, we've been here for an hour fiddling around with all the technicalities of getting all the sound to work. So we've hit our laptops with mallets and technical things like that. Jan is sitting on the settee lit by a candle because we've been here that long. But in the civilized part of the world, we have over in Canada, young Patrick. So hello, Patrick.
Hey, what's up?
And even younger, Joel.
Good afternoon.
We've got a few sort of things to sort of dribble on about today. We've got a whole string of matches, which I don't think we've dribbled on about previously, but we've got a Frankfurt game, which was away. Then what did we have? Then we have Gladbach, then Dortmund, which was probably never going to end well, but there you go. Then we had Augsburg, then away to Leverkusen, and then last but not least, at home against Mainz, which was this weekend. We've got a few other things that we can dribble on about, or at least Jan will, anyway. Transfers before the end of the transfer window. An update about Hertha women. What's this next thing?
What's Austausch.
Yes, what's Austausch?
Exchange.
Exchange?
Or talk to each other. It was a meeting.
Oh.
Friday night.
Oh, right, okay. We'll hear about that, apparently. I'm blissfully unaware of all these things. About a charity match, which is on the 24th of March in the Poststadion. And then, which might be quite interesting, about the new strategic partner, 777, as opposed to 666. So, that's quite a lot to talk about, I think.
Really. Sound well, Patrick?
Right. That's the one. So, who can remember anything at all about being away in Frankfurt? Was anybody there?
Some people, I guess.
Yeah. Some people must have been there.
No. It was a shit show in the first half. And
it didn't get any better.
The week before they lost to Union at home, then Bobic was let go, so it wasn't like the quietest of weeks. And
you tried to suggest they had other things on their mind.
Yeah, probably. And the first half had 3 goals, I guess, or 2 goals. And then he made a change. No, 2-0 to at halftime. And Kulo Muani should be barred from playing against Hertha because they never can do anything to control him. And then in the second half, they switched it around from the old 4-3-3 to a 3-5-2, which they've been playing ever since with three defenders, respectively 5 defenders, before they had 4 defenders.
Mm.
And that worked better. But still, no chance.
We still lost miserably.
Yeah.
3-0 in the end.
Yeah. Normal.
Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. Anything else, Patrick?
Nope, we can move on to the next one. Simple as that. Unless, Joel, you want to, chip in?
No, I don't. I watched it, but I don't remember this one too well. I'm sure
it was a long time ago. To be fair, I can't recall that much.
We have to report more often. It's always like, oh, we have 28 games to talk about.
Yeah. we just skip through this one. The next one at home against Gladbach.
Everyone remembers this one.
Game yes. ever.
That was a bit better. That one.
Best yeah. game ever.
So the scoreline in the end was what 4-1.
4-1.
So,
yep.
It felt like, something might have been, sort of coming good.
It was my best day experience I ever had.
Really? Why? Wow. What was good about it?
I was working, volunteering, for Voice Lotte.
Oh, yes.
Which is how do you say in the English language?
I forgot what it's called.
It's a safety. Mm. Safety thing.
It's like the things in pubs where you can say, I've forgotten what you have to ask now.
Depends on where you are.
Yeah. But in England, you have to ask for somebody and it's a particular name. And that means that you're in trouble and somebody's hassling you.
Oh, like an angel shot. Or
yes.
They call it
yeah, that's it. That's it.
In Canada, we say an angel shot.
If you go to a battle, you have to ask for the new beer that's called Brad Pitt. and then they take you away, out of harm's way.
Mm.
And I think it also happens at festivals a lot. Somebody said that it's the same in Bremen, it's a different name. And in Berlin, it's Lotte because of Charlottenburg.
Okay. Why? Well, yeah. I didn't realize that.
And they're always looking for volunteers.
Petra does it, doesn't she, each match?
Yeah, not everybody, yeah, often.
Cool.
And you only have to work one halftime. At the second halftime, you can sit outside of the VIP area, which they have reserved for the safe space. So I was in the VIP area right outside, right next to the Ostkurve in Block O. And the first half, I was walking around with some girls, and they were so happy I was there, because when they're by themselves, they always get hit on. And with me, they stopped that, but some guys tried to
hit on you.
Start a fight, right? You wear pink vest. And the guys were trying to come up to me and make a joke over me wearing a pink vest. And I was like, okay, fuck you. So you just walk. The thing is, you just walk around, and unless you get approached, you do nothing. If you get approached, you just say hello, and then you call a number, and then you walk the person over to the VIP area where there's a therapist, and that's all you do. So you cannot approach anybody. They have to approach you. So you basically just walk around the stadium, which I usually do when I'm there with my kids. So.
Yes. nothing new there. Yeah. So
the first half and the second, when they was 1-1 at halftime. And then I wanted to walk some more, but I didn't have a partner. So Zaske said, hey, I can pick you up, but I have some stuff to attend to, and then I'll come get you. So I was sitting right outside. Know these outside seats of the luxury boxes? Have you seen them? Like really nice leather seats outside?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
We're not posh like you, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. even though Ingo Schiller is not, I don't have friends in high places anymore.
No.
Anyway, I was just sitting there and waiting for and eating. Like, you get a little lunch bag with bread, and you can get coffee that's acceptable from the machine inside. And we were sitting there, and the guy was like, you know what? I think today, you know, it's Martin Dane's birthday. He's going to score a goal today. 5 seconds later.
Wow.
The ball. He gets the ball from Chiaggi, and the entire place was like a wave of sound. That was
pretty damn cool, wasn't it? You should have bought a lottery ticket.
It was the best thing I've ever seen. And then it went on and on, and then all of a sudden the whole stadium was up, and then I was walking around, and then I was somewhere near the guest block when they did the third goal. And the last goal, I was standing outside, on top of the Ostkurve, and we were just standing there looking, waiting for the penalty. It was best I've ever seen. And I think I posted some stuff. I tried to take some videos and then always post them on the Instagram account. So they should still be there in the highlights. Maybe if somebody would like to have a look-see, go to our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But, awesome game. Best game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Echter only had 30% possession, which was surprising.
Possession isn't everything.
Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
They always say that, don't they? You know, you can have all the possession you like, but...
Look at Union's possession.
What if I don't want to?
Yeah. I've never really felt the inclination to look.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man, you had this game, and you basically had three guys from the academy score goals.
Yeah.
The first one was Naka.
Yeah.
Then Martin Dardai, and then Davy Sherhand all of a sudden. And he was after the game, he was standing in the mixed zone crying. Oh.
Yeah, that's really quite cool.
Really cool. Oh, and the funny thing was, I think the night before was the Hertha Austausch, where they started talking about the Berlin way. And I was like, ha ha, yeah, now you're going the Berlin way, la la la. And then three guys from the academy score goals. It's really awesome.
Well, the Berlin way is better than the big city club, I suppose. Yeah. Following on from that, we sort of propped off to Dortmund.
Oh.
That didn't go quite so well.
At that time, Dortmund hadn't lost a single match. They just didn't win their first match on Saturday.
From what I can remember, though, that we were doing okay, and then they started bringing people on, didn't they? they made some subs in the second
half. Yeah, I remember. I remember
Royce coming on and things.
Yeah, their depth just destroyed us. I remember feeling that
they had some fairly handy people in the background, and they brought them on, and then yeah.
Yeah. It was a hurtful reminder of how shallow our team is, unfortunately. I was like, oh, these are their subs?
Yes, at times it feels like we only have a depth of about 1 millimeter, I think, or possibly even 1 molecule.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wasn't so good, was it? But,
Yeah, but hey, they were tied for first place or second place, or what do you expect? And they played well. It just looked like shit, you know? Everybody said, yeah.
The scoreline looked bad, but...
Who cares about the scoreline?
Well, yes. it's only points. So who cares?
I'm starting to care as the season drones on.
Totally not connected to that match at all. But today, no, it wasn't yesterday. On Friday, we had to get our water heater replaced in our kitchen here. And this morning, we had to go and pay the bill, which was a bit sad. But I was wearing a Herta t-shirt, and the lady that was doing the count just pointed at it and said, "Catastrophe! It's a catastrophe."
She took pity on you and she gave you a discount.
You need it. Yes,
Jesus.
Well, I just saw looking forward to doing the same thing again, and then I was puking projectile vomiting on Friday night, and I said, I can't make the game tomorrow.
Oh,
and I spent the entire...
You must have had the same thing as me, because it was absolutely horrendous.
I was me and whatnot.
Yeah, because one of you guys said, you know, I don't know what's happening on the other side of the Atlantic, but...
That was me.
Because both of us, it was... I woke up about midnight, and I thought I was going to be sick, and I just about managed to get upright on the edge of the bed. And it was just like a hose pipe. It was horrendous. Horrendous.
You ever seen from Family Guy where they're all puking? Everything.
I didn't even know you could do that. It was just
because I was like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk the 20 steps to the restroom. Oh, I can't.
I made the mistake for the first hose pipe session of trying to hold it back. So I put my hand over my mouth here to try to hold it back. I know.
Now you have 5 sprays instead of 1.
And I had all these lumps in my beard. Oh, trouble. It took me ages to hose pipe it all out. It was just
absolutely. Please leave me a bucket. Why does it give you a bucket?
I lived with that bucket for about 4 days.
For the first day. Okay.
Wow. But apparently it was a very good atmosphere at the match, I gather.
Was it?
Yeah, well, so Ines said.
And it's a very tiny stadium.
Well.
Oh, yeah. It was at, that was the one of the stadiums I've been to. Mainz.
You've been there?
Yeah, last was it September? I guess maybe, yeah, it was last September when I was there in Germany. I went to... I started my trip in Frankfurt initially and stayed there for a few days until the match in Mainz. Nice. That was when I met Andy with the
danger.
Because he mentioned you, because I sort of met him before the match on Sunday, and
we met up
that Canadian that big guy.
Majestic.
That was fun. That was a really fun match. I mean, obviously I'm talking about a different one now, but that was my first time in a smaller stadium, I guess, in a way. Cause like obviously the Oli is huge and Signal Iduna is massive. Or well, it's not massive, but the people massive. Mm-hmm. But,
Are we talking about Augsburg or Mainz now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We drifted on to Mainz. It's okay.
I was talking about Mainz. That was
In terms of keeping on track, we have drifted on to my water heater and also projectile vomiting getting caught in your beard. So, you know, we're not being very good about keeping on track. So.
Yeah, no. I jumped a couple matches ahead, I guess.
What was the next one? Oh, Leverkusen was the next one.
No.
Oh, no. There's more.
Upfront was the snowy game, where it looked like, I don't know, Christmas.
Christmas.
First half, everything, yeah, nice. And I think Hertha got lucky because they only exchanged the white ball for the orange ball after they scored the first goal.
It was all part of a cunning ruse, I suppose. Yeah, but that's the one that in it said the atmosphere and the ollie was very good. Because I thought it sounded okay on Saturday. But she was sort of saying, no, that wasn't very good. It's much better for Augsburg. But I'll have to take her word for it. I wasn't there.
I wasn't there either.
I remember being excited about the orange ball. That's, a little...
Easily pleased. It's a very important skill.
Yeah. It doesn't
do an orange ball and he's happy.
Yeah.
Small victories.
You've got to take every one, haven't you?
Exactly.
Maybe, well, what happened with Augsburg? Well, we won 2-0. I don't know, can't remember much about it, but to be honest, wasn't that well.
This was shot by Nishtad.
Okay.
And then he ran towards the corner and it looked like he was running through a blizzard. His eyes closed and his mouth closed.
is that how come he scored? Because the goalkeeper couldn't see because of the whiteout. That's
probably. It was a nasty drop ball. And I don't think that the pitch was very ball-friendly.
Mm. Hey, do I care? No, it went in the net. That's the only thing that matters, I think.
And the second was, what was that? Luka Bakio. Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't he?
I don't know. It was, around the middle line?
The centre line.
The middle, yeah.
The middle bit.
Yeah. Free kick by...
Really?
Rochel. And the ball... It flew, and nobody touched it, and then Luka Bakio was along front of the goal.
Where was the keeper?
He was in goal.
He hadn't gone to get McDonald's or something. You're making it sound like it.
Everybody was jumping in, but nobody touched the ball, and it just came to Luka Bakio, and he was free, and
bang.
To prepare that.
We could do a few more goals, aren't we?
Well.
So that was quite good. We seem to be alternating between games that are quite good and games that are really not.
Yeah. Away
against Leverkusen. I did watch that and I watched the highlights before and there weren't many.
I only watched the highlights and...
We were getting taken apart on the right-hand side, weren't we? I seem to recall.
Yeah. I
remember sort of tweeting about it at the time. It was not pretty.
That's when Leverkusen play like they can. And they had, what's the guy's name? Würzberg. Their next Wunderkind. Happens. Oh, and of course, Leverkusen wingers are just way too fast for.
They were just burning us off something rotten, weren't they? It was, quite embarrassing, really. But most of the damage seemed to happen.
That's one of those ones because same scoreline as Dortmund, right? But like totally different feeling. That game was that like Leverkusen. I just remember being like, wow, we're getting ripped apart. Like I remember feeling it like much more viscerally. And exact same scoreline in Dortmund didn't feel that way at all. That would like 4-1. Okay, no. You did get ripped apart, in fact, 4-1. But I just like that feeling of leaving that match was more okay. This is good. There's a lot going on. There's positives to work with, and so on and so on. Right, but not after Leverkusen did not feel that
not,
way.
Not so much with Leverkusen.
That was same score, but very different feelings. And also, I remember the game before Augsburg for us. I'm pretty sure that was the one that Derek Ray was the commentator for on the international matches. And so, just even having I remember Augsburg was with Derek Ray, great, and he seems to at least have a bit of a soft spot for Hertha, a little bit more than other commentators anyway. And so, was kind to us throughout the match, and we won, and that one all felt good. And then I remember for Leverkusen, right back to the Hertha hater commentators, and then it's a 4-1 loss, and so they were just shredding us, just on off the field, it was brutal. Honestly, I think I've said it before, but it seems like some of these commentators, the English commentators that get put to the international games, it's almost like they have a bone to pick with us sometimes. Like it's more than just like, oh, okay, Hurt is a shit team. It's like, what did Powell do to you? Like, you know, like, I don't.
Moving on.
Yes.
On Saturday, we had Mainz. I thought they were pretty good in the first half, for the most part.
Were they in fifth place?
Mainz? Well, Mainz, way above us, that's for sure.
But, seventh. Right now, they are seventh.
And they had won all their games.
They had the penalty, which was for a handball. I had no idea what it was for, because it went to VAR during the game, and I didn't see it, and I had no idea what the penalty was given for at the time. But, you know, with the highlights, you could see it was a handball. And Nkump put it in, didn't he? To put the goal up. It was unfortunate, bear in mind that it ended up being a draw, that there were a few chances that we had in the first half, which they didn't put away. If they had done that, we could have snagged all the points. But, yeah, it didn't happen. So
I feel like that's often the feeling I walk away with, is that especially those ones where we either draw or lose a win, you know, like it's usually, well, if we'd capitalized on the couple of opportunities we did have, and then we
just... Very much so. The second half, it didn't go so well, though. I think we were under the cosh a bit more in the second half.
Kind of held on a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, not really desperate kind of stuff, but we weren't doing as well, that's for damn sure. They came out with a much sort of better kind of attitude. And there were loads of subs. They seemed like they'd be sort of subbing somebody every 2 minutes almost. It felt like it anyway. There were several sort of double subs. From
two, three, both teams had five.
Yeah, which is the maximum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they subbed everybody they could. So
Mainz had a triple sub at the 58th minute, and we had two double subs at the 64th and the 72nd minute.
You can only use three breaks for five substitutions.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He said it used to be the last season, but I don't know if it's still that way. Yeah.
So explain. So
I met my father-in-law. Yeah, did you give him?
Yes, he had an extra. He had an extra half-time sausage because it was his birthday the next day.
Yes.
Happy birthday yesterday, Andreas.
He basically said that Mainz scored on their only chance in the entire game.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Only three shots on target for the entire game. So, yeah, that would make sense.
At least you didn't lose in the last second, like in Mainz. Right, Joel?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. That one was one of the most heart. That felt like a loss. In the stadium, it was heartbreaking. That was tough.
It wasn't a loss. It was a draw.
Yeah, it was a draw, but it felt. Well, no, it was just they literally that 90, and it was like it was one of those ones where, like, you know, I think it was 5 minutes of extra time, but like it felt like they played like for seven. Yeah, how do we pronounce that? The Turkish player's name, Tolga. I've heard it a couple.
Shiyaji.
Yeah,
she
is silent.
All right, well, so Tolga. Well, I'll just go with the first. He really lit up for me in the Gladbach game. Like, he was all over the field, touching the ball, like, everywhere in that 4-1 victory. And I remember just hearing his name. I didn't hear it enough to pronounce it, but I remember hearing his name a lot, like, in that match. And there was a lot of positivity, but then... In the last few matches, I've been sort of watching for him a little more, because I felt like he was really serving up the ball a lot, but then it hasn't really continued in the last few games. But I was just wondering what you guys kind of thought about him or that, or if you took any note of him at all.
A very pleasant surprise so far, because I had no idea he would have such an impact, honestly.
Ah, okay.
I knew it. I was watching the first interview, like, yeah, this beautiful Turkish man.
is this going to be the new Shelbred? Is it? You're going to be raving about him?
No, I mean, I loved him when he was in Pet, and then he had this gnarly toe injury, and he never came back from that. Then he was gone to underwear.
He disappeared into oblivion for a while.
He went to Turkey.
But he's back. So
maybe the other teams did their scouting and they're like, oh, okay, maybe we have to. Also, I mean, he's not 24 anymore. He's 30 what? 30?
No idea.
He's not the youngest.
That's his birthday in 10 days.
Well, we've done quite well having people that have been sort of quite well on in their career, so to speak, and coming to Hertha and doing stuff. Visa Bitch and things had a bit of a play, didn't he? And Kalou was another one that came and sort of did some good things near the end. Near the end of his career.
Next up on the list, what do we have? Transfers before the end of the transfer window?
That's just Gia, I guess. That's the only transfer that happened.
Is he ours? Or we're not, he's not loan, okay. Right? Like,
no, he's... I think they cancelled his contract with... I don't know if it was some...
So it was a free transfer at the time.
So he was a free transfer.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's a good piece of business.
He was happy to come back with the kids and his family's here, so...
Yeah. Yeah,
from somewhere near Nova.
Well, I won't hold that against him.
Yeah. I love him.
Yes, we gathered that, Jan. Just calm down. Just calm down, will you? Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, he's off again. What was this sort of exchange business that you were on about?
Oh,
what was said then?
Hang on. There was an email that there's going to be. I mean, they used to have.
I wasn't reading emails.
We used to have Hertha and Dialogue. Used to be the thing where they, like a week or 2 weeks before the members meeting, they would have an evening moderated by Axel Kruse and people could ask questions.
Hmm.
So it was basically the same thing, but it was in the warm-up area of the Olympiastadion.
Hmm.
All the way downstairs.
It's only the bowels.
No, but you walk through the marathon tour and then you walk down 3-4 steps.
Right.
And then you're... It's like a 50-meter tartan track.
Tartan.
Yeah, no, it's tartan. Yeah. Like a running track.
Okay. Well, it wasn't a soccer kilt or something. It was spread out on the ground. No. When you said a tartan, I thought, what?
Yeah, and it was Kai Bernstein, Thomas Herrich, and the guests were Zeke Neuendorf and Benjamin Weber, who had just been... announced as the new or the interim managers after Bobic left.
Mm-hmm. So what was said?
What was said? People could ask questions. Hang on, I'm looking for my notes. Where's my notes?
Mm-hmm. I could practice pronouncing names while we're waiting.
Okay. Okay.
But the listeners are disappointed now. They want to hear me make a fool of myself again.
First question was about the where they let Fabovich go. I think it was Bernstein who said that they had lost faith in the way he conducted himself with the club, and they wanted to restructure the Geschäftsstelle. And he was not really into that. And then he openly flirted with going to the DFB, which was also pretty shitty.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, and then they tried the games in 2023 were pretty shitty up to that point. And they wanted to get more players, and he said no. So that's why they let him go. They said that it's not probably not the best time to let him go. But it was an unanimous decision by the advisory board and the presidium. Okay. And then somebody asked about Maximilian Schiller and Benny Weber, who used to be the head of the academy for 20 years, something like that. And he said that there were like, I don't know, 6-7 players that were in the news as rumors, and some of them came here and they didn't really like them too much. They were not really convinced that they would help, so they let them go. One guy was even here for a medical check, and they just said no. And one guy they wanted to have is the Danish guy, Vestergaard. He was there, and they liked him, and he would have liked to come, but his wife is about to have a kid, so he didn't want to move, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Which might be, it might come next summer, but we'll see. Also, I don't think we need any more center backs. Oh, and then Zeke started talking. 20 minutes. for 20 minutes. And have you ever seen Tech a Talk? No?
I don't think I have. No?
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a youth coach. And after he talked, I was ready to run on the pitch and kill everybody.
Okay. A motivational speaker.
Yeah, he talked about being the head of some media. You know, he's one of those guys like Ante Čoviću, who very, very high potential, but were very, very lazy. So he just said, he said it's not something he wants to do forever. He was more like, you know, my future plan is to be in the academy, because being in the academy, I can have the most impact, but I can help find the future players for Hertha, and that's the best place for me to be. But right now, it's like with like Dada when he first came in the first time. Like, I'm gonna help the club, and that's all that matters. Yeah, and that was that. And then they talked about Kader plan, blah blah. And then they had a longer talk about the coach, and was and they basically said they would love to keep him no matter what. But of course they can't, because this meeting was on the 10th of February. So they said, you know, but if we're going to lose more games for 6 weeks, we have to let him go. They said they would love to keep him, and they're really happy with him. But in German, you have this cliche that football is a numbers game, and if the numbers are bad, then you have to let somebody go. And then was a question about all the... did we mention last time how many people Bobic brought in?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was. He had a big entourage.
Yeah, so they only fired like this 2-3 people, and everybody else they will have a talk. And I heard some rumors that some people he brought in are happy now that he's gone.
Oh, okay.
So they're gonna have. Oh, but I think they're gonna try to somehow cut back on the employees a little bit, because it's really bloated right now.
I saw a thing, in some of the notes that went out after the 777 lot sort of buying themselves in, saying that one of the things they had to do was to cut costs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but then some of the, I mean, for example, who's the guy at the academy now? Came from Frankfurt. Anyway, he came in. He's not, and he would have, Weber had to go because of him. They let him go, and the new guy makes way more money, like double what Weber used to make. So they have really, I would say it's a bit like the Trump family. You know, yeah, get all your friends in here and take the money and run.
Moving on.
That's what's the evening. It was like, oh, and the cool thing is afterwards everybody kept talking for a bit, and there were like little bistro tables, and somebody bought food because there wasn't any food, but then one guy from Fembetreuung ran out and came back with pretzels and some sandwiches. It was really nice. And Kai Bernstein came around. He gave everybody a handshake in the end. But there were like 20, 30 people left, which is a typical East German thing to do. And he came and he asked for more critical questions. He said, the whole evening was so nice and harmonic, but he wants to have some criticism and some more questions people have. It was really proactive, and
well, you learn from that, don't you? If people just say yes, that's all. Yeah, that's all very nice. You don't learn anything, and if you don't learn anything, you can't improve.
I'm a big fan, big fan. So, Joel, if I remember correctly, you were not really happy with Bobic going, or was?
Yeah, that is how I felt. Definitely. I mean, I just like I still feel the same way. Like, because I mean, it's not like some miracle has occurred either, that we're still in a pretty similar situation as we were. But whatever, you know, it's fine. I think what we've talked about then too, like the contract, I think was a big one for me, the whole contract extension issue. And so I think and so the timing around that helped that a lot too. But I mean, and obviously we found out a lot more, or at least more since, like afterwards, like how, like specifically how they felt about his interactions with the rest of the club and the team. So like if it was also negative, then sure.
The contract business forced their hand, didn't it, I think?
I also think that Bush is a major prick.
Yeah, and I mean, fair enough. I think my biggest issue was just what felt, or at least was perceived as the knee-jerk reaction after the Derby loss. Like, and I was just more reserved about it feeling like that. And I didn't really like that as much. And I wasn't like a Bobic hater at that time either. So, you know, but now, yeah.
The timing made it look like a knee-jerk reaction. Definitely, that's true.
So, but, you know, hindsight is 20/20 now.
Also true.
So I'd say I'm no longer a Bobic bitch boy. If that's what you're really trying to ask, yeah.
He didn't suspect we're going to try to work that into it, as if we would. So.
Next up, we have an update regarding Hertha Frauen.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea was that the three oldest women's teams or youth teams from Hertha Zehlendorf would still train there, become Hertha BSC players, mm-hmm. and they would have the games at the Olympiapark. But the DFB now says, no can do, that only the entire women's teams would have to switch over. But Leipzig and Salzburg are not the same club. Fuck the DFB. So
we can agree on that.
So how many women's teams will there be?
I don't know. It's right. just an article on RBB. I have to ask.
I thought I heard at some point or other that they were going to start at the bottom somewhere.
But then Zehlendorf came and said, hey, we have these teams and we can't afford having women's and men's teams. You want to have our girls' teams? And then, okay, cool.
I guess this will come to light in the.
It's going to happen, I think.
Fairly soon.
I think everything will be resolved by the time the Mitgliederversammlung comes around in May.
Mm. So that will last fairly soon, isn't it?
That was basically the answer we got for every question at the Hertha Austausch. Yeah, what about the 777? We'll have something by the
moment. Sorry, I'm still stuck on the Frauen. So the issue is that we're not taking enough teams from the Zehlendorf.
They just want to take three teams. They want to take three teams. So Hertha. Zehlendorf had a 0-0-3, still has all the girl teams, and then the older, the teenager youth teams, they would switch and become Hertha players. But the DFB said, no, it's not in line with statutes. We have to take over the entire women's teams. But the problem is they don't have the space.
Oh, okay.
So presumably there's some bickering going on in the background to try to resolve all this.
I mean, DFB hates Hertha, but it's just...
Yeah, well, most people seem to, really. It's a bit sad.
Anyway.
There's talk of a... So we don't have a video about that. So the charity match, what's that all about?
That was the earthquake. Well, the earthquake,
oh, of course, yes.
In Turkey and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw... Serda and Chiesi both had shirts and flags and everything at the last couple of years. And Berliner AK, who is in the Regionalliga Nordost with the under-23s, they asked Hertha for a charity game in the next international break.
Cool.
At their stadium, Austrian, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you are in town, you should probably come. It's on the 24th. I think it's a Friday night or something.
24th of March. Yeah.
It's very, very close to Hauptbahnhof. It's a nice old stadium. Berliner AK is short for Armee Club. So it used to be an army club.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday. Swiftly moving on from the charity match about this new strategic partner.
Yes.
Because there were banners and things up in the Ostkurve at the beginning of the match on Saturday. We're sort of saying about, I think it was 50 plus one is on paper only, and they were getting upset about it all. So I'm not quite sure how that all works out.
Of course, the ultras are always against investors.
why are they saying that particular thing? Have they gained overall control or something? These people coming in. So what?
I mean, they have a bit more involved than Windhorst, who was so stupid to give how much is 374 million without any control over anything.
Yeah, that would be pretty stupid. But
yeah, and they basically bought all the shares from Windhorst and bought some more. Because Windhorst had 64.7, and it's important to stress that it's only shares in the limited company on bonds, because the most clubs have their pro teams are not part of the EPOM Schaubund, of the EV, the Eingetragener Verein. So the pro football is the KGAA, which is a Kommanditgesellschaft auf Aktien. So it's basically shares. They have to have a look at them. They bought 64.7%, and I think they're going to pay 35 more million, and then they're going to go up to something in the 70s. But that hasn't happened yet.
But that's not the club is it? So that's where the 50 plus one
yes.
bit comes in.
Where that still has 100%.
The virtual club.
Yeah.
Mm.
The club is
100%. It's a bit of a grey area, I think, this business. Because what is the club, really? I mean, if you separate off the professional team, which is then sort of basically owned by these other guys.
But all the decisions are made by the club. And all the decisions for the pro team have to be approved by the presidium, which is voted for by the panel. By the entire Mitgliederversammlung. So it's
okay.
I mean, Bayern have three investors, and it's owned by them. Same thing.
Mm.
I think the only club that's still a club is Schalke 04 and Freiburg, and that's it.
Mm.
Maybe Augsburg, not sure.
Mm.
But I mean, Augsburg is throwing millions at American stars that they sell after a year.
I just sort of wondered with all those banners and things, like, you know, why. There must be some sort of green truth, or at least they must think.
Of course, the best thing would be if you could find somebody who would say, hey, I have 374 million, let me buy the club. Oh, which, by the way, I think Windhorst lost a lot of money on that whole deal, because he paid 374 million, and I don't think that 777 paid more than 200 million, if that much.
Losing 100 million, that must have stung a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he tanked the club.
Yeah, so.
And have we talked about 777 before?
No.
They own different clubs?
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They own.
So who else then?
Hang on. They own Genoa, Vasco da Gama of Brazil, and Standard Liège of Belgium. Red Star FC, France, Sevilla, and Melbourne Victory FC. I think that's where Lecky used to play.
I think so, yeah.
Lecky. Whenever he wasn't injured.
Yeah.
You only got injured coming back from
that. Yes. When he wasn't a hurter, he always got injured, and then he came back and didn't play.
So can any of that benefit us, or how does that... I know, because whatever Red Bull does, I don't know whatever shenanigans they get up to with their...
Yeah, it's not the same thing
with their New York and Vienna teams and... Or Salzburg, I guess.
I mean, that's the worst thing about... One of the worst things about Leipzig, that they get all these players for a fraction of the cost they would actually have to pay for them if they were in the real market.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't be getting that then?
Not exactly.
I don't want to
say that. Something has football knowledge and data from these clubs, and it was said that they also helped to look. And they only had 2 days before the end of the transfer window when they kicked out Bobic, and they helped them with analysis. And I don't know how this computer thing works, but they did something. You say, I need this and that, and then they go through databases and find the players that you would need or something like that. And they helped in assessing the players that they were thinking about bringing in, or the players they brought in.
So some Moneyball.
Maybe a spare change ball or something like that.
Okay. Well, because even I wonder, like, comparatively to, like, all the clubs you even just mentioned, like, how do you think they view Hertha in that sense? Like, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's their first Bundesliga club, right? So, I mean, it's got to be one of their better teams, you know? Well, not better. I don't know. At least by name, like, by age and Bundesliga one, like it. Like, I guess, I mean, would we be the better team out of their ownership?
Like the highest profile?
Yeah, like, I guess, yeah, that's sort of my question. Do you think are we the highest profile team? Like, and then what would that mean for 777? Like, are we just going to be another notch on the belt? Or do you think they want to do a little more with us in particular? Or
as a, like, the total budget-wise, maybe Hertha is their biggest club, but as, you know, profile and success, no. It's all of that.
Yeah, okay.
Anywho, is there any random stuff we want to chuck into this as well at the end?
You were asking about the whole thing, and there was a press conference 4 hours ago.
What was
a press conference today.
Okay.
I could read you the highlights they tweeted about.
Oh, yeah, there was this, that was the press conference with the guy with a baseball hat. Looks so weird. Like, you know, he's got a full suit and is with a baseball hat. If it had, like, you know, 777 on the hat or something, make it a branding thing, I'd be like, yeah, okay, this looks like, you know, amateur crap, but at least there is a purpose to it. No, it was just like a baseball black hat. So
it's a funny combo, isn't it? No.
Yeah, the combo looks strange. His name is Josh Wander.
Yes, that's it. That's the name.
And he said, mutual respect and openness are always key in discussions regarding a partnership like this. We're really happy to be here now and to have a chance of being a part of a club with such a rich history. And he went on.
He didn't get us muddled up with somebody else, did he?
Rich history. One of our brains on your belly. Our aim is to help finance long-term and sustainable
projects. He suddenly says later on, damn, I thought I bought the other club.
Our aim is to help finance long-term and sustainable structures. This is the best way to secure long-term success. Then other people said something, and he said, we want to preserve the club's independence and long history. We are here to help all clubs in different ways to make them more successful. And then I checked it with the German, and the German, they tweeted more in German than they did in English, and they left out some parts in the English. Hang on. Scrolling here. He says he was under the impression that the guys who are now with him on the podium seem to be the right person to lead the club into the future. And one thing he said, hang on, his first impression of the Olympiastadion was that Hertha fans are very passionate and lots of anything can happen in the future, and we are here to become a long-term partner that sustainably invests personal and with money. Oh, and I think some newspaper said something around that they would put another 100 million into the club in total. And then the first part is 35. I think that's really needed to get a license without any, you know, if your financials are bad, you get a license, but only if. So there's going to be no only ifs if they put in the 35 million.
So I think a license is probably very important.
Yeah. Okay,
one of the things that they tweeted here said, we want now to restructure ourselves and get back to basics and leave the big city club label in the past, along with the megalomania from recent years.
Ooh, yeah, I got that quote. I enjoyed that quote quite a bit. Yeah, that was well played.
Yeah, the guy with the hat. Yeah, that's a real strange look. So.
Yeah, but I mean, when they were in America, in the States, there was a guy with a cowboy hat and a suit. Looked even worse. Or maybe.
I don't know. Somehow or other, that doesn't seem so bad as this this dodgy little baseball cap. I don't know if you're a Texan or something. That's what they do down there.
He's going to sell dope outside the stadium after the press conference.
Well, you know, that 30 million's got to come from somewhere.
yeah, good point.
Close to wrapping up here. Do we have to do the what makes us happy segment? Food. Yes. My wife bringing us chocolate eggs to eat. That makes me happy. Can you hear them rattling in a jar? Jan, what makes you happy? And you're not allowed to say chocolate eggs.
And I can't say coffee?
Ooh, I thought you could say coffee.
Oh, the Asian guy winning the Oscar after 20 years away from the screen.
Mm. Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
There was an Asian guy who is a Chinese refugee from Vietnam, and he was on one, in the 80s, he was on one of the Indiana Jones movies, and he was in the Goonies. And then there were no roles for Asian actors, so he stopped acting. He went to film school. He was a stunt coordinator and assistant director. And then he read the script. His wife said, you have to go back and be an actor. And then he read the script for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won Best Film as well. And he was nominated and he got an Oscar.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. That makes you happy.
And Ted Lasso season 3 is coming out.
Oh, yes. Good one. Good one.
Patrick, what makes you happy?
I'm annoyed that Cate Blanchett didn't win Best Actress because she dominated that movie, Tar. Tar should have won Best Movie as well. So yeah, that was the two things that annoyed me quite a bit yesterday. And what makes me happy, like maybe the weather getting warmer. that right now makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, you actually stole mine. That's
sorry.
I was gonna say impending spring, really.
Yes, I'm not sure why, but it felt so much worse than other previous years. I think this city, I think we beat records for total snow over the winter. It's insane, but I don't know if it's the same in your city as well.
Ottawa's been, we didn't break records, but we definitely had a way snowier winter than we have in the last few years, to the point where it approached like some of the records that we've made in the last couple of decades or whatever. But yeah, it's been a snowy one for sure. Lots of snowfall. But then it's also like it hasn't, I mean, we all obviously still have cold spells, like it happens, but it's also generally been milder. So it hasn't been at least freezing, but yeah, a lot of snow. And I mean, it's just...
Just my opinion, because I don't ski. I prefer cold than snow. I don't mind the cold, but the snow, it's a pain in the ass from A to Z. Mm. So yeah.
When can you start running outside again?
I'm going to have to, I played very safe in that regard. I wait until all of it is gone. So early May, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, even for us, it's March, but like in Ottawa, like we can usually expect one last major blizzard with like 15, 20 centimeters of snow. Like that will happen anywhere between the end of March. Sometimes it's even happened at the beginning of April. So yeah. We won't put away our winter stuff. Like even if all the snow is kind of melting now, which I mean it is, but there's still a lot of it on the ground. But like, yeah, like we would expect one more last major snowfall.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the light at the end of the tunnel, that's a train.
Yeah.
That's nothing else. Don't be fooled, you know? We're going to get fucked once more.
Yeah.
Proper fucked at least once more before summer for sure.
Simon hasn't said what makes him happy yet.
Well, we've got another grandchild on the way that's sort of due in the next few weeks.
Now I feel like such a chump.
Yeah, no,
yeah, we feel like such like I feel like such an asshole bitching about the snow and how
that's gonna keep us occupied soon.
We're going to bring loving family into this.
I was just trying to lighten things up because I'm committing suicide if we just left it as it was.
Dropping F-bombs left and right, like it's going out of style. Christ. Okay, so yeah, congrats to Simon.
That's awesome.
That'll be fun. So,
So is there a date?
I mean, in theory, it's on the 10th of April, in theory. Wow. But okay. So but it's the second one, so it's you know, it may be sooner than that. So pretty much when we get back to the UK after leaving Berlin, we're on sort of
time-watch
baby alert status. So we'll have a whole lot of stuff packed in the car, so we, you know, we might have to sort of take off at late notice.
So yeah. In theory, okay, so you're going back tomorrow, and in theory, when is your next trip to Berlin?
Yeah, because of babies and what have you, it's, I think it's Wolfsburg game, I think. So it's sort of well into April.
Okay.
I mean, there may be, I mean, we don't really know. We, you know, we can't plan anything.
Wolfsburg is, yeah. Is the last match in May.
Yeah, 27th of May.
No, it must be before that. I can't look it up, unfortunately, at the moment.
Or do you mean Bremen?
It's April, I thought.
Bremen is on the 22nd of April.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be Bremen. Yeah, it could be. That sounds about the right sort of time if that's a home game.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We are coming for the last game of the season as well, because we always do that. I mean,
there is a small chance still that I might make the last game, home game.
Four more home games.
Yeah.
I think it's Bochum.
Yep.
Yes, on the 20th May.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I was saying to Jan that I was just like, got to figure out some of the logistics of the timing works with Renee and her mother, who would be flying elsewhere this around the same time.
You guys running away from each other? You go there, I go here.
kind of, a little bit. She's actually planning a trip with her mother, and they're doing a bit of it alone. And then so I'm not required to join them for the entirety of the trip, which is a blessing.
It's nice.
So that's why I may be able to make a
list of requirements.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're going to sell you to like Augsburg for a few million. But where are they going?
They're going to Rome, actually. And then
you mentioned that, yeah.
And they might do a little bit of Italy or whatever. And then if the timing works out on when they're going to go, I would try and go to the last game at home, Bochum, and then actually also then try to go to Volkswagen Arena.
Oh, okay.
The last one.
And nice.
And then I would start to head down south and meet up with them eventually. For me, it's up in the air, but yeah, it'd be nice to see you Berlin guys again.
Yeah. Ooh,
nice, nice.
Patrick, will you be traveling to the championship trophy session for Arsenal?
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, geez, that would be amazing. No, yeah, the next trip is still September, unless a miracle happens and I can drop by sometime in May or something. But for now, the plan is September still.
So it's the marathon trip?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
September 20th, actually, I would fly. I got my ticket and all. 38, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Only 5 points.
Yes, still. But like before the World Cup, they lost their best player to an injury. No, it was during the World Cup, actually. And they were 5 points up. And now that player is coming back very soon. And he came back against Fulham last weekend. And Arsenal are still 5 points up. So
they took Trossard away from
Brighton, yes.
He's done quite well.
I knew he would be good, but he's been even better than I thought. Like, really nice compliment to everyone else. And right now, everyone is clicking. You know, it's all firing on all cylinders. It's nice. It's awesome.
So yeah, it's been a while for Arsenal. So,
yes.
Yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah. 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 There's been a few FA Cups in the meantime, which is nice, but it would be nice to get back to the top for sure. So, yeah.
Cool.
That was the Arsenal Minute for this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience.
In which case, I think we're going to wrap it up, aren't we? So it's a goodbye for me until the next time. And from young Yan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
See you guys.
All right, bye.